What up, though? Welcome to episode 63 of the Speak On It podcast featuring your boy T-Lip, man. Hey, we stacking up these souls, man. We stepping up these episodes, man. We out here stacking them up, man. Dropping these gems, dropping these, I ain't gonna call them facts, because they just my opinions, you know. Maybe they come from a factual place, but, you know, it's just my opinion, you know. I ain't really tripping on. You believe what you believe in. I believe in what I believe in. Let's break bread on what we believe in. You feel what I'm saying? But kind of be all over the place with this episode right here. Kind of want to talk about a few different things, you know. And bear with me. Follow me. Keep up, man. Speak On It podcast. We here. All right, well, obviously today is Friday. What is no December, what, 29th? Yep, December 29th. And obviously we had a Thursday night game last night between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Cleveland Browns won 37-20. Cleveland just playing some good football right now. They played a lot of good football this year, even before Deshaun Watson got hurt, they were playing good. And after he got hurt, they actually been playing pretty well as well. If I'm not mistaken, his last game was against the Ravens, the game they actually came back in. That was that week 10? Yeah, I think that was the game he got hurt at the end of the game. But they've been playing well. Ever since he's got hurt, they are 5-2. They lost to the Broncos and to the Rams. But Joe Flacco, man. How about Joe Flacco? He's came back literally. He was at home this entire season. I think this is like his fifth game. I think it's his fourth game starting. His first start was against, let's see, don't want to guess. Let's make sure. His first start was against the Rams 5 weeks ago. He's 4-1 as a starter. So he lost against the Rams his first start, and then he's won four games straight versus the Jaguars, Bears, Texans, and the Jets. Pretty easy schedule to end off the season for them. But the Browns have been playing great football this year. They obviously have one of the top defenses in the league, defensive player of the year candidate in Myles Garrett. He's still making plays, causing havoc on his side of the ball. They got Denzel Ward back, which is a lockdown corner. That put Greg Newsome back in his position where he can thrive and not have to be the number one corner and take all the, you know, responsibility of guarding the other team's number one. So he's been doing his thing. And he has versatility to that team. You have Thornhill as well. That's a guy that plays winning football. Za'Darius Smith. But the Browns have a great team. The Browns defense, even though they had a lot of injuries, they lost their starting left tackle in Jack Conklin. They lost their starting quarterback in Deshaun Watson. They lost their starting running back in Nick Chubb. Like, they've lost, like, a good chunk of their team. A lot of production from their team. Like, I just named the left tackle, the running back, and the starting quarterback that they didn't lost, and they are still right now. They are 11-5, 3-2 in their division, 8-3 in the conference. So shout out to Stefanski. I think he deserves, you know, the coach of the year because of the things that has happened this year for him, all of the injuries that they've lost, signing Joe Flacco, you know, from him watching the games all year at his home, not on a team, for him to walk right in and be able to perform the way he's been performing. I think he's thrown over like 1,500 yards, 13 passing touchdowns. He has 8 interceptions, but you kind of want to limit them interceptions because those can be one of them things in the playoffs that hurt you. But he has kept them more than afloat. Like I said, this is one of those dangerous teams. I said in the previous podcast episode, on the Speak On It podcast, I said previously that The Los Angeles Rams and the Cleveland Browns are the most dangerous wild card teams that teams are going to have to face in the playoffs. Because I can see both of those teams winning in the first round. If the playoffs started today, the Browns being the fifth seed, they would have to play the fourth seed. And the fourth seed right now is the Jaguars. I can see them beating the Jaguars in Jacksonville easily. And if the playoffs started today in the NFC, the Rams are the sixth seed and the Eagles are the three seed. I wouldn't have said this like 5 weeks ago, but right now, there's a lot of things going on in Philly. You know, they probably have that Super Bowl. They still probably trying to ride that Super Bowl appearance hype, and they still think they can turn it on when they want to, and they're dealing with a bunch of, you know, probably egos in that building right now for sure. When you win the way they did last year and you go to the Super Bowl, even though you lost the way they played, you feel good about yourself. Everybody in the whole organization, the whole franchise starts to feel good about themselves. The coaches, you know, the training staff, all of them starts to feel good. And that may have put them back a little bit. So they're dealing with things right now. And I can see the Rams going into Philly and beating them. I can see the Rams with Matthew Stafford, which is playing some great football this year. Matthew Stafford is playing great this year, man. I thought this was going to be a down year for the Rams. And even though they're 8-7, I thought they were going to be – I didn't think they was going to win 8 games at all. I thought they was going to probably win like 3 or 4 games, especially with Cooper Kupp had missed like the first 5 games of the year. So this is a dangerous team, the Rams, and I think they can go into Philadelphia and win that game. But back to the Browns and the Jets. The Browns look good. Joe Flacco was 19 for 29, 309 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But the interception he threw went to the crib. You don't want to. You can't do that in the playoffs. You're not going to be able to throw a pick six in the playoffs and bounce back from that. You're not. Especially on the road, which they will probably be on the road for the predominant. Well, they probably won't have a home game unless something crazy happened. And I don't think nothing. We're going to see. But you can't be throwing pick sixes. And you got to be able to protect the ball a little bit better. The running game was all right last night. I think it's Jerome Ford had 12 carries for 64 yards. But he also had two catches for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he had a 50-yard catch and run for a touchdown. So he's adding versatility back there, and he's doing his thing back there as well. But the Jets, they just don't have a quarterback. They'll probably be better next year. We'll see how it goes next year with the team. And if Aaron Rodgers comes back, if they're able to add a couple pieces to that offensive line so, you know, it can protect Aaron Rodgers better. We're going to see what happens with that whole organization. Because they had their hopes high this year to go to the Super Bowl. But Aaron Rodgers got hurt the first 5 plays of the season, tore his Achilles, and then he was back with Zach Wilson. And y'all seen how that went all year. He was benched, he was starting again, he was benched, he was starting again, and now he's out. Like, it's just a lot going on. So hopefully Aaron Rodgers is able to come back and, shit, have a great year, add more confusion to that division for sure. But great win by the Browns. They're a dangerous team heading to the playoffs, and I don't think nobody really want to play them for sure, but we shall see. Now we're gonna move on from that. We're gonna pivot over from that. We're gonna start talking about some of the key matchups this week, this Saturday and this Sunday. Obviously, I think there's some big games. I think this is closer to playoff football right now because there's still some seeding that could be, you know, a win here, a win there. There's still division open. Like, if the Bills and the Dolphins win this week, they will be playing each other next week for the division. And that's big because one will be a 2 seed and the other one will either be a 5 seed or a 6 seed. So that's big right there. That's going to be a big game. Some other divisions, I would have to say, what is that, the AFC? AFC South. You have a three-team tie right now. The Jaguars, the Colts, and the Texans are all 8-7. And some of those guys play each other. They're going to end off this season playing each other. And I think two of these teams make the playoffs because the Raiders, the Broncos, or the Chargers are not making the playoffs. The Steelers or the Bengals probably are not going to make the playoffs. The Jets and the Patriots are not making the playoffs. So that leaves it open for another team. And I think that AFC South is going to come down to these last games, and we're going to see how that play out. So it's some divisions on the line. So playoffs started. If it ain't started last week, it's for sure starting this week. But let's talk about this game first. Let's talk about I think this is going to be the biggest game. Well, let me pivot from that. Let me talk about this game first, starting tomorrow on Saturday night. The Lions travel all the way down to Detroit and play. I mean, the Detroit Lions travel down to Dallas and play in Jerry's World. I think that is going to be a big game. I think that is going to be a very, very big game. I would say that the Dallas are going to be tested this game. They're going to be tested. They lost the last two games, and the Lions have won their last two games. The Lions are a good team. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. Their defense make plays in spots. They have a good coach. If I'm not mistaken, I think Dan Campbell played for Dallas. I might be mistaken, but I think he played for Dallas at least like a year or two or something like that. So it's going to be – if he did play for Dallas, it's going to be good for him to come back down there with – it's the only game on Saturday night. All eyes going to be on that game. It's going to be a big game because these two teams – can potentially play each other in the playoffs as well. So this is going to be a test to see what they can do with each other, what they can manipulate with each other. Like, you're going to see, okay, what kind of punches do the Lions want to throw? What kind of punches can the Dallas Cowboys take? What type of moments, plays that players can make in certain moments? How is that going to look if the Lions come out fast and they happen to be down? How is the Lions going to look if Dallas come out and they're, throwing hooks and punches and jabs and haymakers and making plays all over the field and playing with this fire and energy that we know they can play with? What is that going to mean for the Lions? I don't know. I think this is a big game. I would say this is definitely one of the bigger games. Dallas is second in scoring. They scored 30.1 points. Detroit is fifth in scoring. Dallas defense is better. They only allowed 19 points a game. That's fifth. Detroit, allowed 23.7. That's 24th. They both are third and sixth in total yards per game. The Lions are third in rushing, though. They average 141 yards in rushing, while the Cowboys are 12th. They average 115 yards in rushing. They both are 5-6 in the pass game. Passing yards per game. So this game is tighter than you think. Like, this ain't one of the games you think Dallas and Detroit maybe years ago. This ain't one of those games. This is a big game. And this, like I said, this is a pre-playoff game. We might see this matchup in the playoffs. If the top four seeds win, let's just say the Cowboys win the division. And now they are the 2 seed or the 3 seed. Where the 49ers are the 1 seed. And so the 2 and 3 seed will play each other. If they win, if how it turns out. And that the 2 and 3 seed would be the Cowboys and the Lions. So this is a big game just to see how it would be in the playoffs, just to see how you match up with this guy, with this team, and to see how it goes. Who you got, Lip, though? Who you got? You doing all this talking, trying to break down the game, man. Who you picking for this game? Who am I picking for this game? I mean, Jared Goff and Dak Prescott, they're kind of like the same quarterback. They're kind of like the same guy. They kind of cancel each other out. Who has the better run game? I think the Lions have the better run game. Who has the better O-line? The Lions actually have a pretty dominant offensive line, for sure. And I think they're more physical. I think the Lions are the more physical team in this matchup for sure. Who has the better perimeter guys? I'll probably say, I don't know, man. Like, outside of CeeDee Lamb, who can take over a game? I don't know, on the outside. That's what I'm talking about. But the Lions got St. Brown. They got Laporta. They got Gibbs that can do some things. They got Josh Reynolds that can make some quality catches. They have Khalif Raymond that can make some quality catches. So I might have to give the outside playmaking ability to the Lions as well. And I may give just a Dak at home is probably going to be better than Jared Goff on the road. So I might give the slight edge to Dak Prescott because he's at home. It would have went either way. Like if it was played in Detroit, I would have took Jared Goff because he's at home. That's why I say they like the same type of quarterback. Who will I give the defensive edge to? I think I'm going to say the Cowboys. Just because the Lions, they are right on defense, but they allow things to happen on defense on them that can get them in trouble. They don't know how to get off the field when they need to. Like I said, they're 24th in scoring. That's defensive points allowed. That's 24th. Like, that's not good. So teams can score on the Lions for sure. And like I said, it's on the road. We're going to see how that defense shows up. So I'm going to give a defense to the Dallas Cowboys. And special teams I would probably give to the Cowboys because they have that kicker that can really, really, really kick. And then they have also Turbin as a returner, and he can make plays. He can change the game with a return, a punt return, a kick return. And he can also change the game on offense as well. Obviously, last week, he's the one that had that forced the pass interference call in the red zone on fourth down. So he can change the game. Like, that's a plus right there to keep your team back on the field for four downs. And he's the guy that can do that. So it's kind of an even game. But I'm going to take Detroit. I'm going to take Detroit by like 3 points. I just think they're the physical team. I do not fully believe in Jared Goff. But I think he's a quality quarterback that's good for the Lions. I think if they're able to run the ball, which Dallas is not that good versus running teams. You obviously seen James Cook come out there and run the ball on them for 200 yards down there. We seen him get dominated. We've seen Dallas give up a lot of rushing yards. We've seen them not be able to stop the run. We've seen that. They light with the linebackers. Their linebackers are not that dominant, not that big. The secondary, you know, they can tackle, but whatever. D-line, we just got to see. So if the Lions come out and play the Detroit Lions brand of football, I think the Lions are going to take this win. And it's going to be a big win, though, because I don't think Dallas have lost at home in like 15 games or something like that. And then they also on a two-game losing streak as well. So it's like, okay, now y'all at home, are y'all going to end this streak or are y'all going to be in trouble? Because if the Lions lose this game, it's going to be like, okay, they were supposed to lose this game. You know, it's okay. They went on the road, primetime game. They lost. This is like one of their first big tests on the road, kind of like a playoff atmosphere. They lost. Okay, they got a taste of it now and they'll be better for it in the playoffs, in the actual playoffs this year. But if the Cowboys lose, that ain't going to be good at all. People going to start calling for, oh, Dak ain't the answer. Mike McCarthy got to go. Like, y'all already know how they talk about the Cowboys every day, all day now. If the Cowboys lose, that is not going to be a good look for the Cowboys. That is not going to be a good look for Dallas. It is not going to be a good look for anything because it's just not going to be a good look. It's going to leave a taste in their mouths that is not going to be a good taste because I would say the Cowboys have only beaten, I'm going to say eight of their wins, the Giants, Jets, Patriots, Chargers, Rams, Giants, Panthers, Commanders, Seahawks. And the Seahawks been on that teetering too. They've been losing a lot lately too. So literally eight or nine of their wins have come against teams that will not make the playoffs this year and that did not make the playoffs last year. You heard what I'm saying? So the Cowboys are, they are 10-5 right now, but 8 to 9 of those wins have come against teams that's not making the playoffs this year, and that did not make the playoffs last year. The losses that they had this year came against playoff teams, really good teams. So when they had a chance to showcase, okay, we don't just win against teams that, you know, that ain't good. We're not just beating up on the busters. We can actually play with the big guys and win against the big guys. They lost to the Eagles in Philadelphia. They got beat bad by the 49ers in week 5 in San Francisco. They lost to the Cardinals, which was a bad loss, in week 3 as well. And they lost to the Bills and they lost to the Dolphins. So all the teams they can probably make the playoffs this year. They're going to make the playoffs this year. They can probably make the championship. The Dolphins are a team that can make it to the Super Bowl. The Bills are a team that can get hot and make it to the Super Bowl. The Eagles are still the Eagles. They can make it to the Super Bowl. The 49ers, they can make it. They're probably going to be in the Super Bowl. So all the teams where you had to showcase that, hey, we ain't just beating up on busters. We actually coming out here and we can really play with anybody. They lost all of those games. So you don't want to come out here and play against the Lions. That's an actual good team this year as well. And not win this game, like not have a quality win versus a team that's going to make the playoffs. That's already the division winners, all of that. You don't want to go into the playoffs with a sour taste in your mouth. Especially losing three of your last 4 games, you lost them. Because they play the Commanders next week, which they should win at. But who knows? It's the NFL. You don't want to go into the playoffs with your last 4 games having 3 losses in your last 4 games. Especially 3 in a row, too. You don't want that taste. You don't even want that energy in the building. So this is a bigger game for the Cowboys. The Cowboys' back is against the wall. Their back is against the wall, and we're going to see how they coaching, we're going to see how they acting, we're going to see the whole vibe. So, but I have the Lions winning. I have the Lions winning, I would say 31-27. I have the Lions winning 31-27. I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game. Like I said, I got the Lions winning. But we shall see tomorrow. Let's talk about this game. I think this is the biggest game. On Sunday, 2 MVP candidates, 2 teams that can go to the Super Bowl. This was a big matchup last year. And this is a big matchup right now. Big matchup right now in this point in the season. Miami Dolphins travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens at 1:00. That's going to be a big game. A real fast and finesse type of offensive team. In the Miami Dolphins, in a real physical, in-your-face, punishing offensive and defensive team and special teams in Baltimore. Last year when they played each other, Baltimore got out to a damn near was like, I think it was like 35-7 at a time of time last year. It was 35-14 in the fourth quarter with like 10 minutes left. But the Miami and Tua had start making plays. They actually came back and won the game. I think the score was 42-38 at the end of the game. The Ravens gave up a 21 point lead. You feel me? They gave up a 21 point lead in the game. You can't do that, especially with under 10 minutes left. That was in week 2 last year. Caught them off guard. So I'm sure the Ravens are gonna have that in their mind. But I'm sure the Dolphins are gonna have that in their mind too, because they can know, like, hey, we can go up there and play. We can go up there and win. We already won on their arena, in their stadium already. We can go in there and shock the world. We can go in there and play our brand of football and win. They have the pieces. They got Tua. They got Tariq Hill. Waddle will not play. He has an ankle injury. They have Mostert, which is tied for touchdown runs in the league. He has over 1,000 yards rushing. He has over 20 rushing touchdowns. You have Jalen Ramsey, you have Xavier Howard, you have Christian Wilkins, you have Bradley Chubb. You have guys all over that Miami team. And I think this is a win that the Miami Dolphins can have that will bring their team together more than it's ever been the last few years. I'm not saying they're not together right now. But this is a win where if you win this type of game, it will really show you and everybody in your organization that we are here now. Like, we can win these type of games no matter where we are. Like, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what's on the line, no matter what obstacles, trials and tribulations we're faced with, we can go into Baltimore when Baltimore is literally one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, coming off the win versus the 49ers. And they can go in there and say, hey, we just beat them. We just beat the Ravens, and the Ravens just beat the hell out of the 49ers. What do that say about us? What type of team do that say about us? What the media going to be talking about next week? Because if Miami go into Baltimore and win this game, Miami will be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. I'm telling y'all that right now. If Miami goes in there and win this game, because Tua and Tariq is going to be a part of that win if they win, they're going to be a big part of it. It's not going to be a game that's won 13-17. It's not going to be one of those games. Miami has to score points for them to win. They have to score points. So it'll probably be like a – it'll be a high-scoring game if Miami win. Like I said, this would be a game where Miami can, like, you know – like, now Tua can go in a press conference and be like, yup, I told y'all I'm like that. We're going to keep playing and we're going to keep getting better. Now he can be arrogant as hell if he win this game, because it's going to be tough. It's not going to be a walk through the park. The Ravens are a very hot team right now. They believe in themselves. They clicking. And like I said, they coming off a big win. They not one of them teams that's going to, you know, be satisfied. Coach Harbaugh is not one of them coaches that's satisfied. He have won the big game. So he knows, like, how to get his team back prepared, back focused on the mission at hand and not living on last week's parades. So if Miami is able to go into Baltimore and win, that is going to ignite a fire into Miami Dolphins organization, the entire organization. And they can finally say Tua is our quarterback. He is our quarterback moving forward. We're going to pay him. And he is the guy. If they, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if they have questions right now. I know the whole NFL sometimes have questions. The media around there have questions about his ability and this and that. But if he takes his team in the win or win the Super Bowl this year, but we're going to stick right now. If he take his team into this game and win in Baltimore in week 17, where a lot is on the line right now, Miami can finally say, we got our quarterback. We're going to pay him. We're good. That's just what I say. However, I had to talk good about my Dolphins, man. I had to talk good about my Dolphins. That's the squad. I ain't going to lie. Them the guys. However, the Ravens is my favorite team. Like, I don't even be having favorite. I ain't going to say they're my favorite team. I fuck with Lamar Jackson. I be having, like, players I rock with. Like, I'm not a Lakers fan, but I fuck with LeBron James. You feel me? Like, I don't have no teams like that. Like, oh, this is my team. And I rock with players more. And Lamar Jackson, I just think he the best player in the world, bro. I think the attention he attracts on the play-in and play-out, on a down-to-down basis, I think he is the most dangerous player in the NFL. And I think he's been the most dangerous player in the NFL since he really started playing. But I think now he's just mature now. You know, he's grown up. He's good. He's paid. You know, he ain't got to worry about that no more. He ain't got to keep looking over his shoulder, playing safe. He can play the game he needs to play. He can lead the way he needs to lead. He can listen the way he needs to listen. Todd Monken has been great for him as well. Todd Monken has been a great addition for him. You can tell within the play calling. You can tell how he's seeing the field. You can tell they're just trying to get the ball out of his hands as fast as they can. And I remember I said this. I was thinking, like, man, if Lamar could just be very accurate within 15 yards. Just say that. Maybe let me just say even 13 yards, where he can throw the curl, the out, the drive route, the slant, the basic route, the glance route, the RPOs, the mesh routes, the screens. If he can just be 85 to 90% accurate on that, he will be the best player in the NFL all the time. because he can throw the ball deep. And the things that he can do with his legs is ain't nobody messing with that, bro. So if he can just be accurate within 13 yards and be able to make them throws on, you know, timely curls, 10-yard outs, 10-yard ins, even a comeback in there. You can throw a 15-yard comeback in there. If he's able to be accurate on that, he'd be the best player in the world. And that's what we're seeing right now. Todd Monken has unlocked another, how can I say this? Because I'm not going to say it's all on Todd Monken. I think it's on Lamar Jackson. But Todd Monken has approached Lamar Jackson in a different way. You know, Greg Roman was a guy that wanted to run the ball and find ways for Lamar to run. And he was basically like a run coordinator. Todd Monken is a passing guy. He's going to add in your sprinkles into the run game, but he's going to allow you to see the field as a, you know, see the field like downfield more. And then he's going to allow your natural ability to just do your thing. But he's going to present you with concepts and route combinations that's great for you and that's great for the team. And that's what I'm seeing right now. They're finding ways to get Odell the ball, Zay Flowers the ball. Even Nelson Agholor is getting the ball. Just wait till Devin Duvernay come back. Wait till Mark Andrews come back. Likely is getting the ball. Lamar loves his tight ends. If I'm a tight end in the NFL and I won out or I'm about to be a free agent or something like that, I am trying to get to Lamar because he loves his tight ends. The running backs are even catching the ball out of the backfield. Like, he's the most dangerous weapon on the field. So if he has one of those days, it's over for Miami. If he has one of those days, and I don't even mean like a day where he has to throw for, like the day he had last year versus them. Last year, I think he threw for like damn near over like 400, like 300 yards. He had like over 100 yards rushing, over 300 yards passing. I think he had like 4 or 5 touchdowns. He don't even have to have a day like that. He can just have a day like he had last week. 250 yards passing and like 80 yards rushing. Probably a couple more touchdowns. But he can just have a day like that. And they win. He's just that type of player. Like, he's his presence is felt every single play. Like, all 11 players on the field and all the coaches got to guard him every single play. You have to account for where number 8 is at. And even when you get it right, you can get it wrong because he has abilities that's only God made. He has abilities that's only God made. There's a reason why other quarterbacks that's fast can't do what he do because they don't have what he have. Lamar has a special, unique, godly, you know, version of him that is unworldly. He's like a fucking wizard out there on the field. Like, he's able to do things that no other guy. We've seen quarterbacks scramble. We've seen Vic. We've seen Randall Cunningham. We've seen a lot of guys run. We see Josh Allen. We've seen guys all over be able to run the ball, but we've never seen Lamar Action Jackson. We've never seen a guy like that. Even if you played against guys in high school that was cold at quarterback, he wasn't like Lamar. So this Ravens team is clicking, like they clicking. And they feel like they've been slighted. You know, last week, a lot of teams basically didn't give them a chance versus the 49ers. And they kind of been playing with them a little bit this year. They kind of never gave the Ravens their full credit. Like, oh, well, the Ravens are cool, but da-da-da-da. We don't know if Lamar can win playoff games. Or we don't know if their defense are serious like that because they give up some plays. We just don't know. There's a lot of, you know, skepticism around, or I'm going to say that there was skepticism before last week around the Baltimore Ravens team. But when they went into San Francisco, the Bay Area, and put that beat down on the 49ers, now people are coming around. Now people are like, oh, now people are raising their eyebrow like The Rock. They kind of like, y'all better watch out for them Ravens. Like, they the brand of football they playing, it looked like the brand of football they was playing when they won a Super Bowl 10 years ago. Y'all remember that? 10 years ago, they won a Super Bowl. And it looked like that same type of play. Linebacker, they got a leader on defense in Roquan Smith. He getting all the guys aligned. He playing at a physical brand of football. His energy is felt through that entire defense. D-line playing well. Jadeveon Clowney is doing his thing even more. The secondary doing their thing. They all playing together. The defense playing together. They're the number one defense in the NFL. And they don't even have, like, a Ed Reed. They don't have a Troy Polamalu. They don't have a Ray Lewis. They don't have a Terrell Suggs. They don't have these big-name branded guys. They just got a bunch of, you know, blue-collar guys that go to work every day. They believe in each other. They believe in Harbaugh, and they believe in the Raven way. That's just how they play. Like I said, they don't have Darrell Revis at corner. They don't have, you know, Sauce Gardner. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. You feel me? They just got guys that play the Raven way and that's playing at a very, very high level right now. A very high level. And then on offense, you got Lamar Jackson. You got Zay Flowers. You got Gus Edwards. You got Hill. You got Likely. These are not big name guys. Yeah, OBJ is. He is still Odell Beckham. I think he's gonna turn up in the playoffs. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I honestly think he's gonna turn up Sunday. Like, if you've been paying attention to Odell back end of this season, he's been making some plays where it looked like, oh shit, he took that slant to the crib. He's separating from guys. And y'all already know how Odell get when he gets separating from guys. Get the ball in his hands early. He get the juicing, get the ball in Zay Flowers' hands early. They get the juicing. They are more invested in the game. And it takes, like I said, if Odell, Bateman, or Zay Flowers, if at least one of them take their game to a fucking high level, even another step from now into the Super Bowl or now or whatever, however far they make it, it only is going to add more versatility and more playmakers to this offense. Because if you look over there and you see Zay Flowers got 6 catches for 120 yards, you're going to want some of that. You're going to want some of that. And you're going, okay, now I got to make a big play too. You feel me? Now he throw me a 20-yard comeback. I catch it. I'm getting juice off him because his energy. I'm watching him make plays. Now I want to make plays. That's just how energy works. It's just how energy works. I ain't Tesla, bro. I ain't Nikola Tesla. I'm just saying, though. But you feel me? The 3-9, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But that's how energy works, man. So this is going to be a big game. This is going to be a big game. I think it's going to be the best game on Sunday. With all that being said, with all the things I said about Miami, with all the things I said about Baltimore, the spread is 3.5. Baltimore way. So they got Baltimore winning by at least 4 points, 3.5 points, whatever. They got them winning by that. I don't think this game gonna be that close. I ain't gonna lie to you. If Baltimore come out and play like they ain't got a hangover from last week, and they come out and play Baltimore Raven football at home at 1 o'clock, it's hard to play in Baltimore at 1 o'clock. It's hard, but the fans be turned. They be ready to go. That Raven flock get on you quick, man. It can get hard. And I'm going to say, I got Baltimore winning by double digits. I don't know the score. I ain't going to predict the score. But I got Baltimore winning by double digits in this game. I just think they're that type of team. I think they at home. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think they're going to be able to pass the ball. And I think Lamar is going to have one of those days. He's going to have one of those days. Like, you don't just have the performance you had last week, because he was very, very accurate last week. He didn't throw no – like, all the decisions that Lamar made last week was great decisions. And that is that's one of the most underrated things that I took from that game, is that I was watching his decision-making and his – the throws that he was making, you feel me? And the times he chose to throw it out of bounds or get down early before he can, you know, get tackled. Like, his decision-making is at a higher level now. You can tell that frontal lobe is developed now, boy. Boy, 25 is developing. He's seeing things way better. So, I just think he's going to turn up this game as well. I think the 49ers defense is better than the Dolphins defense. Would y'all beg to differ? So I think he's going to have, if not a better day, I think his receivers are going to eat this game. That's just what I see. Because this Ravens team make you tackle. That's one thing. You got to tackle everybody. They make you tackle in space. They make you tackle running straight at you too. Gus Edwards going to make you tackle. Justice Hill going to make you tackle. Y'all lucky Keaton Mitchell gone, because he a home run hitter and he can go for 80 quick. But next year he's going to be back and it's going to get nasty in that backfield. Zay Flowers make you tackle. Odell make you tackle. Bateman can make you tackle to a certain extent. Even Nelson Aguilar has a little shiftiness to him. Likely make you tackle. We've seen him catch the ball, stiff arm somebody, side juke, cut back a little bit last week. And Lamar Jackson makes you tackle. He makes you tackle. That's just what I'm seeing. So, both of these teams are playing some, you know, high-level football right now. And they matched up against each other. And it's going to be a big game. I'm excited to see it. Like I said, I got the Ravens winning by double digits. And that's just how I'm going to roll with that. You dig what I'm saying? All right, man. Let's talk about a couple other things real quick. It's a big game. Tampa Bay played the Buccaneers. Come on, Lip. The Saints travel to Tampa Bay for a division game. Let me see that division. The Bucs lead that division right now, 3-1, 8-7 record. The Saints are 2-2. So if the Bucs, let's say the Bucs win this game, they'll be 4-1 in the division. I think that'll separate them as much as they need to be separated. If the Bucs lose this game, they will be 3-2 in the division. And the Falcons, the Bucs, and the Saints will all be tied at 3-2 in the division. So let me see if the Bucs beat the Saints the last time they played. Yep, okay, the Bucs. Ooh, because if they would have lost, I don't know how the tiebreaker thing go with both teams. I don't know. We're gonna see how that works, though. But I know the Bucs need to win this game. I think the whole Derek Carr experience in New Orleans, I think that failed. I don't know. I think Derek Carr has the arm talent, but I think he lacks just will to win, willing his team to win. Being great. I think he's just a quarterback. You feel me? I don't think he's great. I think he's kind of just good. Like, he don't show up in the moments you really need him to show up. And I think that's what holds his teams back that he's played for. The Raiders, they've had a lot of – the Raiders had some good teams with him. But they had him as well. And I'm going to say he kind of holds teams back more than he pushed them forward. But – Baker Mayfield been playing great this year, man. Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, one of those guys should win the Comeback Player of the Year. I know DeMar Hamlin is he has the better odds to win right now because of the tragedy that happened last year during the game, and him being able to come back and play again this year, or at least, you know, dress up as one of the 53 guys on the roster. I just think he just shouldn't win it outright. Like, he should be, like, co. It should be co and co. Like, if DeMar Hamlin win it, somebody else should split it with him. Like, I don't think he should just win it, and we should just look over all these other guys that have made some major comebacks this year and how they played. That's just me, though. But we shall see. But the Bucs, I think the Bucs take that game, and we're going to see how that division pans out. CJ Stroud has missed the last 2 weeks. CJ Stroud has missed the last 2 weeks, but I think he's cleared the concussion protocol, and they are 1-1 the last couple weeks. They play the Titans this week. And like I said, this is another division that's really, really tight. So they play the Titans. They have a chance to go up 3-2 in the division and make their record 9-7. And just make it fishy for these teams. Right now, they are the ninth seed right now. If they lose this game, I think they for sure out of the playoffs. But if they win this game, I think it make it a little muddy. It makes it a little muddy, and we're going to have to see how they play. I say the, you know, the Titans should win. CJ Stroud has missed the last 2 weeks. He's coming back. They won one of the games with him being out. They're trying to make the playoffs as well. You know, they have D'Amico Ryans. He's trying to, you know, make the playoffs as a rookie head coach with his rookie quarterback. And they are a team, though. They are a cool team right now. I like what they did down there in Houston. I think they found their coach. But you know how it's the NFL. You know how with expectations, they're going to need you to be better than you were last year. So if he goes to the playoff this year and win a game or lose a game, they're going to go into this offseason feeling good and thinking they're just going to repeat and do that shit next year. They can mess around and come out next year and teams ain't taking them lightly and they lose games. And they lose, they probably lose a couple of the games that they supposed to won. So we shall see what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, man, I like what they're doing in Houston. Love what they're doing in Houston. We're going to see what's going on. But it's a lot of big games that's going to be had. And we're going to see what goes on. Like I said, I think the Texans win that game, though. It's going to be some big games this weekend, man. Some big matchups. Even Sunday Night Football is going to be a big matchup between the Packers and the Vikings. The Vikings are starting their rookie quarterback, Jaren Hall. I think he was the quarterback for BYU. He was the one that was throwing it to Puka Nacua. Let me see the Packers. Are the Packers still fighting to make the playoffs? I mean, they're kind of is. They're 7-8 right now. They're 2-2 in the division. If they win this game, they will go to the AFC. They will probably need the Falcons and the Seahawks to lose. I don't know who the Seahawks play the Steelers this week. They need both of them teams to lose. Obviously, the Steelers and the Seahawks play each other, so they both can't lose. But they can tie it. They can tie it for sure. But we're going to see how that pans out as well. It's a lot of division play this weekend. It's going to be some great football this weekend for sure, man. So make sure y'all tuned in, man. Make sure y'all tuned in. It's going to be some great football. And then I think next weekend we got the college football playoffs that start. You know, we got Michigan versus Alabama. And you got Washington versus Texas, which I think are going to be two good games. Are going to be the only two good games of the playoffs since everybody that didn't make the playoffs, all of their players sitting out, which I think that is kind of weak. I think I seen it was like damn near 10 players from Florida State are sitting out the bowl game. They play Georgia, 5-6 seed. Like, why would – I just don't know why y'all would sit out. I just don't – I mean, it is what it is. College football is kind of different right now, but I guess we're only going to pay attention to the college football playoff then, because I haven't watched the game. I haven't watched not one college football game because all of the guys are not playing. And then a lot of guys that transfer, they not playing for the team that they play for. So a lot of these teams are going into the bowl game with new quarterbacks, new running backs, new wide receivers. Like, who are y'all? Y'all ain't the ones that made it to the actual bowl game. I just don't get that shit. They need to do something with the whole portal. Like, the portal can't be happening right when you're right as the bowl games are going on. Like, they need to try to figure that out somehow, because I know they have to be transferred before school start in the next semester. But they got to figure that out, man. They have to figure that out. And I'm sure they will. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. This is episode 63 of the Speak On It podcast. Hopefully y'all tuned in. Appreciate y'all. Y'all did. If y'all didn't, it's always love. That's all I got, man. Speak On It podcast. Lip out.